The following program, Voice of Victory, is sponsored by Mount Olivet Baptist Church.
Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone.
And a good Friday morning to you, my friends. This is the Voice of Victory broadcast, and I'm Brother Walker, pastor of Mount Olivet Baptist Church here in Lexington, Kentucky. So glad you could tune in this good day. It is a good day. And truth is truth, is it not? I just love truth. Even if I have embraced error and I get corrected. And it's painful. And it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. We shouldn't be so thin-skinned to get our feelings hurt because somebody tells us the truth. It's a shame, is it not? We have in Acts chapter 12 some that have power in society, and they only want to hear what they want to hear. Very dangerous, really, to only want to hear what you want to hear. Nothing anybody else has to say, just what you want to hear. Because somehow we have the idea that what we believe is always right. Well, I got news for you. It is not always right. God is always right, but I'm not always right. Wish I were. We find in Acts chapter number 12 a sorry king, one who paid a price for being sorry, unjust, one who murdered an innocent man, getting ready to kill another one. He at the influence of the Jews wanted to hurt the church. The Bible says, now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And I mean, unbelievable. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. See, it was getting ready to be Easter. They're celebrating the deliverance of the Jews from the Egyptians. And, of course, this marks the celebration of the resurrection of our Lord. This king was sorry. I mean, as sorry as they come. Ah, but then we have a second part of this story. We have the soul-winning servant. The soul-winning servant named Peter. You see, Peter had caused a stir. And Peter was a threat to the Jews. And anybody does what he does is a threat to the Jews. It's a threat to the powers that be. It's a threat. You're a threat in your church if you're on fire and others are cold. You're red hot toward God and things of God. Excited about the gospel. Excited about people getting saved. Excited about people turning their lives around. Excited about building people spiritually. It's a soul winning and soul building is the foundation of the church. You can't find anything else. Not a social club, though we build socially, I think, through church, but it's a spiritual place to win people to Christ and to build them in the faith. And when you do that, it will stir up some that are dead. Why? Well, of course, it makes them look bad. Of course, that's why. One who's in disobedience and has gotten comfortable in disobedience and has been given a free pass in their disobedience and thinks their disobedience is okay. Well, one who starts to obey and gets excited about obeying, it's going to ruffle the feathers of the disobedient ones. Peter was making a difference. He was a soul-winning servant, winning people to Christ. He was a threat. And the Bible says the Bible teaches the Jews and the powers that be, the rulers, the scribes, the Pharisees, the leaders of the then Jewish community wanted him dead. Now, what's that say about them? You got to think about that for half a second. What does it say about them when a soul-winning servant, a fisherman, a common man, one who folks begin to gravitate to, I believe, wins people to Jesus? If it was such a heretical movement, if it was such a heresy, why would they feel threatened? The Bible says, chapter 12, verse number 11, and when Peter was come to himself, He said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." You ever consider this soul-winning servant and how strong he was? I mean, when that many people want you dead, ready to celebrate your death, to celebrate your death, and watch this, he had a wife. He had a family. What would it do to them? An innocent man. Did they consider that? On what charges did Herod believe were worthy of death for this man? The Bible says and teaches that these Jews, I believe, caused such a commotion, such a stirring, that Herod's trying to gain their favor. What a sorry king. And he saw how, well, I'm really going to be in favor with the people. This is a Jewish country. Obviously, the elite don't want this crowd, and it won't be any problem me killing him. Peter understood that. But boy, he was strong. He goes to sleep that night with a death sentence on him, and I think convinced he's going to die. I believe that with all my heart. They killed James. Why would they not kill him? And it was only because of the Jewish custom and what they had followed until Jesus came. They don't need to follow it anymore, but they followed the Passover. Well, the Passover had come. Jesus had come. And they saw the world that they had grown accustomed coming across, coming apart at the seams. I mean, the world they knew was literally coming apart at the seams. This Jesus had come, who they didn't believe was the Messiah or didn't want to believe he was the Messiah. The Father comes to the earth in the flesh. And now so we got to shut them down. You're not going to shut the message down. All through Acts, they're trying to kill the messenger, but you're not going to shut the message down. So we find in Acts 12, this sorry king and this soul-winning servant who was very strong, very strong. Then we find the supplicating church. And when a church exercises its responsibility as well as privilege to pray and to be in supplication, begging for another, begging God for another, the Bible says in verse number 19, "And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death, and he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode." This church prayed a miracle down. This church supplicated in the nighttime. I mean, they're not on schedule for sleeping. They couldn't sleep. I wonder, are we that burdened? I wonder, are we seeing little revival because of this thing right here? And the Bible says that Peter knocked at the door. He went to John Mark's house, Mary, the mother of John, who was surnamed Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Now, it doesn't say John Mark was there, and I said John Mark's house. I apologize. It was the house of Mary, his mom. And I think John Mark possibly was there, but many had gathered there. She's having an old-fashioned prayer meeting. It's at night. They were hid behind closed doors, I believe. And the Bible says that as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel, a young lady, young woman, probably a teenager, came to the hearken named Rhoda. Isn't it interesting God gives us her name? And she was so happy when she saw Peter. She didn't even open the door. She went in and said, "He's here. Peter's alive. They've either let him go or he's been delivered." The Bible says she goes and says, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, "It is his angel." Then he keeps on knocking. In fact, if he had not kept on knocking, I doubt they'd have went to the door. If he had not kept on rattling the gate, I don't know that they'd have ever opened the door. Oh, friend, what a blessing that this sorry king who imprisoned a soul-winning servant, who was a strong Christian at this time, had a church praying for him. You know, that's where we are today, friend. There are sorry people in power in our state. I mean, sorry people, evil people. And I have it on good testimony and good reports and people that are in the know that have told me more than once it's not between Republican and Democrat, it's between good and evil. And there's some Democrats that are evil and there's some Republicans that are evil. And that grieves me. Boy, how did they get voted in office? Did the power go to their head? I don't know, but it's sad. It's just so sad to me. The evil in government that have the purse strings and have the power. It's sickening to me. It's going to come to an end, friend. Judgment day is going to come. Payday someday is going to come. But that should not prevent us from being soul winners and servants. That should not prevent us from being strong. We have no excuse to be weak. We have no excuse not to serve, friend. We have no excuse not to win souls to Christ. We have no excuse to discontinue what was commissioned to the Church of Jesus Christ, that everybody that's saved and in the kingdom of God and in the family of God is supposed to get somebody else saved. That doesn't change. How does that change? Why aren't you doing it? Why don't I do it more? I somehow think because there's sorry people in leadership, we do not still have the responsibility to serve, to witness, to win. And then to pray, because the truth is, if God doesn't do it, it won't get done. I really believe this. To the proportion we pray for God's power and God's impossible working power, we will see little power. I really believe if all we do is work, serve and work and win souls and do that and never pray, we will run out of steam. The engine, in my opinion, let's put it this way. The gas that goes into the engine that runs this thing called the work of God is nothing more than old-fashioned praying. And I really believe we ought to have more prayer meetings. Now, if all we're doing is praying and not getting the word out, not preaching the gospel, because we're commissioned to preach the gospel, friend. We are ordained by God to preach the gospel, called to God to preach the gospel, and we are commanded to pray. And I contend we're not going to get as much done without prayer. We're not going to get anything done if all we do is pray. There's got to be both. We cannot neglect the prayer closet. We cannot neglect supplication. We can't do it. I mean, every problem is a spiritual problem. Prayerlessness is a sin. It's a sin like drunkenness is a sin. Cold-hearted lack of soul winning is a sin too. I wonder what happened. We got serious about trying to get a hold of God. I mean, am I the only one that sees the crisis we're in America? And we get distracted by a sport, or we get distracted by something that doesn't really mean anything? Well, I'm simply saying this man Peter had a life of adventure and had a life, bless his heart, of getting things done for the cause of Christ. But boy, they faced persecution, and you will too. And yet, this sorry king did not stop this soul-winning servant. And I think because of a church deep in supplication, I mean just old-fashioned praying. Well, we're out of time. I trust you have a great day. Maybe some enlightenment about this chapter and about the life of Peter. And until next time, Brother Walker reminds you, you live on the victory side. Hello again. Pastor Walker here. And boy, we're at the weekend again. Let me remind you that God, through Jesus Christ, established church. On his shed blood, we exist as a church. Don't neglect it. 10 o'clock here, we have Sunday school for all ages. 11 o'clock, our preaching. And 6:30, our great evening service. Thanks for tuning in again, and so long from the Voice of Victory broadcast.
Thanks again for listening to the Voice of Victory broadcast from Mount Olivet Baptist Church in Lexington. Call Brother Walker today and let him know you want to continue to hear the broadcast. 859-231-0442. That's 859 area code 231-0442, 231-0442.
93.3 FM and 770 AM.
The 2024-25 FAFSA is changing. Students complete the FAFSA to apply for financial aid to help pay for college. What's changing? The FAFSA is more user-friendly and more students will be eligible for aid than ever before. Because of the changes, the FAFSA may not be available until late December 2023. What's not changing? There's help. There are KIA counselors and others who are ready to help you complete the FAFSA. You're not in this alone. For more info, text MONEY to 1-800-928-8926. Brought to you by this station and the Kentucky Broadcasters Association.
The following